It's such a blessing to be able to bring God's word this morning. It's a bit of a miracle that I'm actually here this morning, to be honest with you. Yesterday, I was in a field near Swindon with 2,000 men praising God. And it was a fabulous time. The only problem was I was one of the first to get there. And so I parked my camper van up at the front. Yeah, so it's not a long way to walk to the big arena. And I suddenly thought, hang on a minute. I'm being surrounded by camper vans and tents. Now, the event is 3 days. It finishes this afternoon. The next, I looked about an hour later and I thought, I'm never going to get out of here. I'm preaching to Levine tomorrow morning. What am I going to do? But God made a way without asking someone to pull a tent down or move his caravan. So thank God that that God makes a way. Amen?
Amen.
Where there seems to be no way. Am I going to be looking at text this morning, where we see the grace of God in action. It's in action with a lady who is in a mess. To be honest with you, there's no way out for her really, according to the law. And you know, some of us, okay, we might not have been in the same situation as this lady, but we'll be able to identify in some aspect of our own lives. But my prayer is this, that whatever situation you found yourself in the past, in the present, or even in the future, this word will sink into the depths of your soul, because God loves you and God loves me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we can have together. Just pray to be led by your Holy Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father God, bind my flesh. Just speak through my heart and let your word come forward, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So there's a couple of odd things about this scripture as we've just read from Sheila and Ross. And the first one is that I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a bit of a footnote at the beginning, and it says that this manuscript was not included until later on in the book of John. And the thing was that, as we know, John, scholars tell us that John went to be the Lord at the age of 99. And the thing is that this actual scripture was actually found in the book of Luke. But they didn't think it fitted into the book of Luke, so they put it into the book of John. And later, they found more scriptures that actually confirmed the authenticity of this scripture, John chapter 8. And the second thing that's quite odd about this scripture is, yes, this woman had been caught in adultery. Now, in both Leviticus and Deuteronomy, we know what the punishment was, yeah, for not just woman, but for. So where's the man? I mean, how hypocritical is that? Where is the man? He's nowhere to be seen. Or maybe. Come on. Maybe he's in the crowd picking up a stone. So basically, this woman, She's brought before this crowd. She comes all of a sudden. Just let me read that first verse again. Jesus returned from the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he went back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. And he was speaking. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who'd been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Now, obviously, the Pharisees and these scribes, they thought, we've got him. Bump. We've got him. He's never, ever going to get out of this. Yeah? What's his reply going to be? And so they dropped this woman in front of this crowd to be witnesses, to bring scorn and shame, yes, upon this woman, but also to prove that Jesus was a fraud. That if he didn't obey the law, then that's it, he's finished. And the crowd will know this. They'll be witnesses to this, and it'll spread like wildfire that Jesus does not obey the law. We have got we feel for this woman. Of course we do. She's had a wretched life. Can you imagine this might probably weren't the first time that she'd been caught in adultery, but she was a mess. She'd been used by men. Do you know, I go into prisons all around this country and, you know, I speak in men's prisons and you get big, broad men, big, muscly men coming up and, do you know what I mean? They give their lives to the Lord, which is awesome. But when I go into a woman's prison, I tell you, it's awful to see women in prison. It's not the same as ministering to men in prison. You know, you see the sad faces. You see the heartbreak. A lot of these women have been abused. They've been used and abused. Do you know, I remember getting a 10-page letter from a prisoner who had read my book. And out of the ashes. And she was about to take her own life. She was thinking of suicide. And my book was up on the top shelf. And the top shelf. Yeah, she just saw the corner of it. I mean, how many of us put our Bibles up on the top shelf? They should be on the coffee table, shouldn't they, in front of us? But she said this. She said, Peter, thank you for sharing your testimony. It's helped save, reading it has helped save my life. And you know, we've all got tragic stories. We've all been through it. And sometimes, you know, it's almost like people see our scars. These people were seeing this woman who was caught in adultery. I'm not sure that they saw her scars. Maybe they were backing the Pharisees and the scribes. Maybe they were waiting for judgment to come upon her, them stones to become to hit her in the face and her body and end her life. Maybe they were there for that. Why was Jesus there? Jesus was there to show compassion. Jesus was there to show forgiveness. Jesus was there to reveal his love for this woman. You know, I'm not sure whether this crowd were at what their response, what it was when Jesus, you know, as Jesus went through and shared with these, shared that message that you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And none of them picked, that was it. You know? Now, what I thought when I was reading this text was, I thought, well, maybe one of them should have picked this stone up and thought, well, adultery is a sin, but the sin I've committed doesn't lead to death. And maybe he would use that excuse. But they were so convicted, these Pharisees and these scribes, they were so convicted that not one of them could throw that stone. You know, God is amazing. You know, we've all been there. We've all lost the plot in our lives. You know my story, how I've lost the plot in my life. Drugs, alcoholism, immorality, total wreck. That's besides all the physical trauma that I went through. The fire, the stabbing, the hit and run, my father's suicide. Do you know, 2 weeks ago, I got a message. I just got off holiday. Me and Sarah had been abroad in Europe. And as soon as we landed, I got a message. Peter, your sister's son has jumped off a flyover. And do you know, this flyover, unbelievable. It's above the bridge that I stood on, thinking of doing the same. So my nephew, who's 40 years of age, tragic life, drugs, alcohol, get totally lost, totally broken, threw himself off, committed suicide. We've all made mistakes. We've all got ourselves into a mess. And this woman is in a mess. She's no hope. She's probably full of guilt and shame. And we've all been there. I've been there. But let me tell you this, I'm not there today. I'm not there today. And why is that? Is that because of me? It's because of Jesus. That supernatural grace that flows from heaven above. Every day, every minute, every situation that you and I face, grace is available. Do you know, yes, this woman had been caught in adultery, caught, you know, tragic. However, God's love for this woman was bigger than the sin that she had committed. And whatever sins of the past, of the present, and even of the future that you and I commit, remember this, and we don't want to sin. We don't want to sin, but sometimes we go astray a bit. Let's be honest. God's love is greater than that sin for you and for me. You know, you remember when we've all, you know, some of us here, most of us here have had children. And when our children were naughty, who can remember those days? No one. They were, you know, but okay, we might have been a bit frustrated with them and, you know, but we love our children. How much more does God love you and me? God loves you and he loves me. And he loved this woman. Teacher, they said, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Do you know, what do you and I say when people ask us about Jesus? How do we respond? You know, some people respond in peculiar ways. I remember hearing this guy shout out, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only son." And I thought, oh, he's a Christian. I'll go over and say hello to him. So I went over and, "For God so loved the world, he sent his only son." And I got up to him and I said, "All right, mate, how are you doing?" He went, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only son." I said, "Yeah, mate, I'm a Christian." He went, "For God so loved that." Do you know what I mean? What a response. Guys, we are not robots. You know, we are real people who've got real stories of how God's grace came into our life. God's grace is amazing. Absolutely incredible. In fact, it says all our difficulties are only platforms for the manifestations of his grace, power, and love. All situations, all circumstances, for his grace, power, and his love in your life and in my life. You know, it says in John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Jesus, he had to strike a balance here with this woman. He didn't want to be all lovey-dovey with no consequences or no challenge regarding her sinful life. So what did he say? He said, who's condemning you here? Are they condemning you? She said, no. He said, well, I'm not going to condemn you. He said, go, but sin no more. You see, he's got a balance here. I mean, that must have amazed the crowd. What an answer. He's showing God's love. He's showing God's compassion to this woman. But he's also challenging her. And God challenges you and me to sin no more. You know, the Bible says that when I was a child, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put my childish ways behind me. And I don't know, maybe you've got some toys that you're still playing around with. They've got to go. And they will go. Whatever it is. Because we mature in life. We become children of God and we mature. And we learn from the mistakes that we make. We learn one thing, among many things actually, but the main thing is we learn that God loves us. Absolutely adores us despite our mistakes. I've shared this before. I remember I'd only been a Christian 6 months, and I've been a Christian 34 years. And as a 6-month-old brand new Christian, I'm walking up this road and I thought, that's it, God will not forgive me for what I did last night. I blew it big time. Went out, got drunk, absolutely messed up. I went to a friend's house. I had a key to my friend's house. Went in, sat down. He was out. And I heard this. "Peter, what have you done?" I went, "What's that?" "Peter, what have you done?" I'll never forget it. "Peter, repent." Got down on my knees in my mate's front room and I asked God to forgive me. That was the first time. Obviously, I knew Jesus had died for my sins and I got it all up here when I got saved. I knew that, but I didn't realise I was going to let him down in such a way. And I didn't realise the amount of love that he showed me even when I made that mistake. Can you imagine how this woman is feeling? She thinks she's sentenced to death here. She thinks she's going to get stoned. She's not going to come out of this. But then Jesus reveals God's love to her. He reveals God's grace. You know, it says this, those who know their unworthiness sees grace as a hungry man sees his bread. Are you hungry today? Will you be hungry tomorrow, next week? Caesar's bread like an hungry man. That's the sort of understanding and position we should be in. And being thankful for God's grace. Don't take it for granted. Let us be thankful for the blood that was shed through the sacrifice of Jesus for you and for me. I'm hungry for God's grace. I need God's grace every day of my life. I need his power. I need his love. You know, this woman had lost everything. She'd lost her dignity. She'd lost her self-worth. She'd lost it. And when people go through such experiences where they lose everything that they care for dearly, they lose loved ones, they lose everything, finances, jobs. It's a tough way back, but there is a way back. You know, I come out of the ashes. Literally, as you know, I was burnt in a house fire when I was a child, badly burned. This woman, she's been badly burned, not through an house fire, but through a disobedience, through a sinful nature. She's lost everything. Do you know, I got a phone call, Sarah and I got a phone call this morning, just before we're about to set off. And it's an Iranian friend of ours, goes to our church. And she said, Peter, she said, Alsa and her sister have lost everything. And Alsa came over to this country about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And we were introduced to her. And I had the privilege of leading her to Jesus. She was so hungry. She was so desperate for truth. You know, the scripture talks about Jesus being the truth. She was so desperate. And she, it was just, to be honest with you, it was like picking a strawberry off a tree. She went, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. She came to know the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, she went back to, 3 weeks ago, she went back to Iran. And obviously, the situation that's broken out. She got stuck in Tehran. She couldn't get out. Roadblocks. Complete chaos. And we got a phone call this morning to say that ever since she got married, and this is a tradition in with Iranians, they like the gold. Yeah, so there were, every time she got some money or finances or got blessed, she'd buy gold. And she accumulated all this gold and she put it in this Iranian bank. And so she said to her sister, will you go out? And because she's scared that bombs are going to drop. I mean, you know, it's all going off in Tehran and in Iran. And so she was scared a bomb would be dropped on the bank. So she said, go to her sister, go get the gold out of the bank. And so she went. She came out of the bank. 5 men stopped her. She got in the car, but the car stopped because of the gridlocks that are out there. 5 men walked up to the car and said, we've just seen you coming out of the bank. Give us everything you've got. And they robbed her. They robbed her of all that gold. Apparently, there's about 100 grand's worth of gold that they've robbed. Now, my point is this. It's tragic that she's lost. this goal. It's tragic. Of course it is. But you and I both know that the Bible says that God is more precious than gold and silver. If we get the gold of God, the grace of God, the power of God, the love of God in our lives, we can lose everything except Jesus. Hallelujah. But yet it's still going to be tough for our friend's sister. It's still going to be tough. We've all lost things in life. But we aren't to become dependent upon those things. We are to become dependent on God. Dependent on His grace, His love, and His majesty. And that's when we'll go deeper with Him. When we, you know, America is asking for total surrender of Iran, as we know. Well, let me tell you, God is asking for you and me to surrender to Him fully. Fully. And that's, sometimes that's a challenge. And it doesn't happen all at once. It's a process. And I don't know what this woman, if this woman had heard Jesus speak before, or she'd heard His disciples, or I don't know what process she'd heard the gospel. But she must have felt absolutely blessed. She must have been shocked and awe that not only was she not stoned, but Jesus has said to her, the Son of Man, Jesus the Saviour, has said to her, go and sin no more. God is an amazing God. They were trying to trap Him, saying something they could use against Him. But Jesus stood down and wrote in the dust with His finger. They kept demanding an answer. So He stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then He stood down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Wow. We've had accusers. Of course we have. But the most accusers I get are spiritual. The devil. Coming to try and rob me of my joy, rob me of my hope, coming to try to take me off track. Accusing me, look at you, call yourself a Christian. What's my response? Get thee behind me, Satan. You have no authority in my life. I'm a child of the living God, bought by the precious blood of Jesus. How are you responding, guys, when you get accused? Especially spiritually. It's through prayer that we win these battles. It's through coming before the Lord and rebuking these lies, these torments, these things that are going on in our life. Do you know, I went to the doctors the other day, last week, and he said to me, wow, your foot looks... I've had a bad injury on my foot for 2 years, really bad. I've got partially amputated feet, as you know. And on the left foot, I had a hole in my foot. Not a hole in my bucket. Remember that one? But a hole in my foot. And he said to me, wow, that looks great. He said, we're not going to operate. I said, wow. I said, awesome. He said, whatever you're doing... He said, whatever you've done, he said, keep doing it. He said, by the way, what are you doing? I said, I'm praying. I'm praying and asking Jesus for healing. He said, well, keep on doing it. See the little witness there? Eh? Well, that's a big witness, isn't it? Prayer is powerful. Keep praying, guys. Keep seeking God in every situation. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. The Pharisees replied, you are making these claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. Jesus told them, these claims are valid even though I make them about myself, for I know where I come from and I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. What a hope for a Christian. He knows where he's come from, but he also knows where he's going. Come on. Amen? Amen. We know where we're going. You know, the world is not only preparing for war, it's at war, but you and I are preparing for a party. Amen? And that party is being organised by God. I don't want to go to that party yet. I'm sorry. But I know I'm going to a party, a celebration, where Jesus is going to be present. Wow. Going to meet the disciples, going to meet Moses, going to meet all the characters. I'm looking forward to meeting Job. I can relate to Job. I've been through a lot. Who are you looking forward to meeting? Do you know, Jesus is the light of the world. It says in 1 Peter 2, it says this, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. He is the light of the world that puts out the darkness. Boy, has he put out that light has put out that darkness in my life. Cool. You know, set free from that darkness of the past. Set free emotionally, mentally. Set free psychologically. Who can do that? Jesus can. The light of the world. Do you know, Jesus knew who he was. That is amazing. Jesus knew who he was. He knew that he was God. He knew it. He was convinced. You know, my question is, my challenge is, do you know who you are? Do I know that? Yes, I do. I'm a child of the living God. I've been adopted into his family. That's what the Bible says. You are adopted into his family. You know, God sees you. You know, when you get your head around that, God sees me. That's incredible when you focus in on just that, that God sees me who I am. It says this in Genesis chapter 16, and it's Abraham and Sarah. They basically, Sarah has told Abraham to sleep with Hagar and get a child because she's barren. And so she, it says this, Hagar went out into the desert, obviously, ran away. Sarah was treating her terribly. She'd had Ishmael. We know who Ishmael is. He's the father of Islam. All started with Hagar and Ishmael. And it says this. Hagar says this in the desert. Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. She also said, I have truly seen the one who sees me. Do you know God sees you and me? He sees everything. He knows everything about us. Everything. But he loves us. He loves you. He loves me. We're a work in progress. Yes, we've got some things that we need to be healed of. We need restoring in certain areas. I love that program, The Repair Shop. Anybody seen it? It's amazing, isn't it? You get these people bringing in their old teddies and the dolls and the clocks. harps and the whatever, the violins. And they're desperate to have it brought back, you know, brought back to life, to glory. And so all these craftspeople go to work, don't they? And they start stitching and shaving and polishing. And then the people come back in, don't they? And then all of a sudden, they've got it covered over. And then all of a sudden, they revealed, they restored, whatever it is they've restored. And you see the people's response. Sometimes you see them in tears. They're like, wow, look at it. It's beautiful. Well, you can imagine how God sees you. And it must have been tears to it. Smiles of joy, but with tears that, wow, look at her. Look at Sheila. Look at Rose. Look at Alex. Look at him. You know, look at me. I mean, come on. I mean, I tell you what, people don't know me in Halifax today. Honestly. God is an amazing God. He's a light of the world. His light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot put it out. The Bible says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In James 2, it says this, mercy triumphs over judgment. You know, when I first got saved and I went into a church, I thought, oh, they'll see all my tattoos and, do you know what I mean? I hope I don't get judged. And boy, I didn't get judged. And I knew that church was an awesome church of God. In fact, they wanted to talk to me. They wanted to spend time with me. I was like, wow, this is incredible. What sort of people are these? Mercy triumphs over judgment. Do you know, I'll finish with this. But I remember, as you know, I used to work for the... incredibly, I was in prison when I was 12. Yeah. I ended up, when I got saved, I ended up working in a prison. God opened up a door for me to work in a prison for the probation service. Absolutely incredible. That's what God can do. Like how God can restore you, can flip it around. Where instead of becoming negative in people's life, you can become a positive. I never stood before Alex. Yeah? He never, you know. But anyway, I stood before the judge, so I know what people go through. But the thing is this. I remember just about to leave my house and I was just beginning to sort of lock up and turn the telly off. But this article came on the news and it said, so-and-so sentenced to 8 years in prison for strangling his girlfriend. And they gave this report out, how she... basically was a lovely lass. She had great potential and he'd strangled her over jealousy. He had a jealous fit and strangled her. He got 8 years. I screamed at the telly as I was going out. How the heck did he get 8 years? He should have got 12, 14, 16 years. Shocking. And I walked out. About 3 months later, got invited to speak at a prison in Reading. Gets up there. Has a great time with the chaplain and the prisoners. Let me tell you this. You can be in prison, but if you've got Jesus in your life, prison is not in you. Prison is not in you. And one guy once said to me, Peter, what about all those prisoners out there? Anyway, the chaplain turned round to me after the service. He said, Peter, do you want to come downstairs and speak to the vulnerable prisoners? I said, yeah, I'd love to. So I went downstairs. Anyway, there was about 12 guys. We all sat round this table and we were sharing. I got sharing with this lad. He'd just become a Christian. Lovely lad. Great. Came across his personality, you know, and his character seemed great. I couldn't understand why he was in prison. I never asked people why they're in prison. Never go there. Unless you want to tell me. But this guy didn't. Anyway, coming out of the prison, the chaplain said, oh, I saw you talking to so-and-so. I said, yeah. He said, did he tell you why he was in? I said, no. He said, oh, he strangled his girlfriend a few months ago. I went, huh? It was the guy that I judged on the TV and screamed and shouted. I tell you what, I mean, God saw me. He saw my heart, that judgmental attitude that I had. I'll be honest with you, I just stood there and I repented. Now, that guy's got the consequences. He's going to serve a long time in prison. But let me tell you this. He came to know Jesus. I know he did. This woman had probably paid the consequences with a messed up life. Absolute tragic life. But yet, when she met with Jesus, everything changed. God had probably turned her mess into a message. And that's what God can do. Now, I know a lot of you, obviously, the majority, all of you probably, have not been through, you know, what we're talking about today, or what I've shared about my own life. But let me tell you this. God does not pigeonhole sin. Yeah? A lie, a bad attitude, anger, did it. God sees sin as sin. And so let us be grateful. Let us thank God. The God who sees me. He's the light of the world. He sees you and he sees me. And he loves us. Whatever's gone on in the past has gone. As far as the east is from the west, I will remember your sins no more. That's what the Bible says. He sees us today. And he loves us. And he's got plans for us. He's got opportunities for us. Opportunities to share. Not just in church, but out in the community. That's where it's all happening. And so my prayer is this, that if you're struggling with things in the past, if you're struggling with things a few days ago, know that God loves you. And that you're a work in progress. And you and I will never be perfect until we meet with Jesus. That's when you and I will sin no more. Let's pray.